Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Right, you're listening to Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, and we have our first guest in, do we not?
We do. We have Paul Pegler in.
Now, Paul, good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for coming in. You are a horologist.
I am indeed.
Can you tell us what an horologist is or does?
Well, it's a posh name for a watch or clockmaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's the study, the science of clocks and watches.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking the proper mechanical wind-up and weight-driven ones.
Well, yeah. I think it probably takes on modern things as well these days, but traditionally it would be, that's what it is. It suggests the wind-up clocks and watches.
Mm. Grandfather clocks? Grandmother clocks?
Yeah, long-case clocks, as we call them.
Yes, it's a generic.
I do beg your pardon.
Long-case clocks. So how long have you been doing that, then?
Well,
at least 20 years.
I suppose when I left school, I went to Hackney Technical College, which I believe you did as well.
I went to Hackney Technical College. I did telecommunications.
Yes. But that was 50 years ago for me. I mean, I started in 1968.
Right.
But having come from a sort of horological family, I'm
horological. That's a good word.
I'd been involved in it before then, you know, in sort of a hobby capacity, or you know.
So was it your father? Was
yes, he was a clockmaker. It was a family tradition. My father was a clockmaker.
Mm, I see. That's interesting. So you had a bit of schooling in it to start with.
Yes, then. I mean, right from an extremely early age, you know, very very early, I was taking clocks apart, a bit like kids play with toys. I played with clocks. But he was always there, you see. Unfortunately, he died when I was 9, so I only had him up to that sort of that age. But but the tradition carried on with my brother, who was also a clockmaker, who was also died as well. Not given
away. Oh, dear.
This is a dangerous profession.
I know, it's a very dangerous profession. But I'm still alive, I think. But he was a clockmaker of repute, died at the age of 57.
Oh, dear.
And was sadly missed in the trade because he was an expert on certain clocks that even now there isn't really anybody to replace the work that he was doing.
That's interesting.
So is there some kind of guild or organisation you belong to?
Well, there is. I belong to the British Watch and Clockmakers Guild, which are becoming more and more prominent. They desperately want only professional people to engage in the repair of clocks and watches because they're becoming rarer.
Yes.
And, you know, a chap down the road who's got a hobby, I mean, you know, fair enough, it's his hobby, but you're not going to take a Jaeger LeCoultre watch apart.
A watchly-doodle.
And get Jaeger LeCoultre, you know, or something, and you know, worth about 4,000 quid, and then get halfway through it and forget where the parts go and can't put it back together again.
And have bits over.
Yeah, have bits over, yeah. But I have seen it. I mean, I've seen it
in
watches.
I'm sure you have,
and I've seen it in clocks. Bits of Meccano put into long-case clocks. You know,
really? Oh, wow. Yeah.
All kinds of horrible things.
Oh. Mm.
Interesting.
So that isn't a done thing, then?
No, it's not. No. The guild don't like it. That's the professional body. I'm also a freeman of the Worshipful Company of Clockmakers, which is something that you're invited to belong to. And with it, for livery, you do get the freedom of the City of London, which I got just before I moved to the Isle of Wight.
Oh, that's handy.
But you're
allowed to walk the city boundaries or something.
Yes, there are some strange things, actually. Well, I think the thing that swung it for me was that if I commit murder and I'm hanged, I can actually be hanged with a silk rope.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's nice to know.
And as I say,
that's a comfort.
That makes all the difference.
Yeah. It did, didn't it?
I thought it was to do with being able to bring your sheep through the city.
You can do that over London Bridge. You can also be married in St Paul's Cathedral.
That's handy, but I think your wife might have something to say about
it. Yeah, I think we
missed that one. Don't tell your wife.
We've still got Paul Pegler here, who's our currently resident horologist.
Our resident horologist.
He's only one in this studio, anyway. And now, you were talking before the break about you moved over here, having just been made a freeman of the...
I was a freeman of the Worshipful Company of Clockmakers, of the Clockmakers Company, you know, one of the old companies, city companies. But you get, if you have livery, if they give you the livery, which they have, you become you become a freedom of the City of London.
Ooh. But now you've moved over here, you were aiming to sort of drop back a bit from the work on horology. But
well, I was aiming to, but in a way, I've gone up a notch or two, really, because there's a lot of clocks and watches over here that haven't been done, that are lying around on, you know, in pocket watches, for example, that are just lying around in a drawer.
And need your tender touch.
Yeah, and I've taken a clock back, and someone said I've actually got Granddad's pocket watch in the drawer upstairs, and it hasn't worked for 50 years or something like that, you know. Mm. And I say, well, look, you know, get it out, let's have a look at it. So my quest is to get people to get these old clocks and watches, or particularly watches in this particular instance, and get them out, get them restored, get them working, and put them on the stands that I'm producing. I'm producing high-end, handmade watch stands for open-faced pocket watches.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the grandkids can actually see that was Granddad's watch.
Yeah.
I engrave a plaque for it so that it can have the name and the you know, his the year of his birth, the year of his death, possibly. And they are very upmarket. They're all handmade, upcycled Victorian mahogany with,
lovely.
With all the brasses, gold plated, everything's made by hand, all under a glass dome.
I've seen some of these personally, and Paul is very skilled at this.
I'm sure
he is. Very, very
yeah.
skilled at this.
Don't give out his address, otherwise he'd be inundated
with
them.
Well, I'm not going to give out his address. I know which village he lives in.
Yes, I know. But he'll still be inundated.
But we can give, if he wishes to give contact details at the end, you're more than welcome to do so. Yeah. But do you get the watch working as well, if they wish to?
Oh, yes. I mean, the whole idea is I'll do the watch. I mean, if someone wants to buy a stand because they like the idea of having a pocket watch in their home, on a sideboard, on a desk or wherever... Mm. I actually can provide them with a reasonable watch as well, just to go with it.
I mean,
almost free of charge. That's how much I want to promote the stands.
Wow.
You know, the watch might be worth £1,600 or something, but it's worth me saying, look, that's what it's going to look like. You can have that. And on my website, on the standandwatch.com website, you can actually see the stands. You can see with the watches on them.
Excellent.
Magic.
Standandwatch.com. Is that all one word?
Yes, it's a little play on words.
Yeah. Well, why not? That's a great idea. But, I mean, you must have very steady hands to get inside some of these tiny watches.
Yeah, especially a lady's watch, a very, very small, minute sort of lady's watch. It's a whole machine. It's amazing to think about it. The whole thing is a working machine. A chap was telling me the other day, a colleague of mine was telling me the other day that he worked in South Africa, and because of the climate on the coast, they used to get lots of sand blowing around, and you'd get one grain of sand find its way into this sort of very small lady's watch, you know?
Mm.
And after going through the cleaning, the ultrasonic cleaning machine, because that's the way we clean watches, you couldn't see it. The colour had gone, but the silica was still there.
Ah.
And it was stopping the watch. He said it used to happen all the time. And they used to painstakingly go through and take all the bits and pieces out of it.
Wow.
Because that's all you need to stop a watch.
They are very tiny gears and cogs in there.
Absolutely amazing. In fact, it never ceases to amaze me how they're produced. And I've never actually said, I saw at college years and years ago, I saw a film of a Swiss watch factory.
Yeah.
But when you see what's inside a small watch, it's absolutely amazing.
Mm.
All those teeth on all those wheels.
Little teeny tiny
hard
wheels.
Hard to believe, but it's done on machines, and that's why they can do it. But you have to remember that in the late 17th century, it was all done by hand.
And someone had to put it all together.
Yes, they did. Did ladies ever have pocket watches in the same way the gentlemen did?
Yes, they had. The Victorians, popularised by Queen Victoria, we call them fob watches. They went in a little pocket, in a dress and a fob pocket, but they were very ornate, invariably silver, obviously gold examples. The common ones are silver, heavily engraved silver cases, enamelled dials. Sadly, not particularly worth a lot of money because they're totally out of fashion.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
yet they're a part of our history in a way.
They are, and it's lovely. I mean, I've got some just to say that, but I remember at Camera Cusp, when I was at Camera Cusp, we had a box, rather sort of, you know, foot sort of cubic cube of watches, and they were just thrown in there.
Mm.
And I mean, and these days, people are doing terrible things. They're taking movements out of cases, gold cases, and selling the gold, because they can make more money out of selling the gold than selling it as a watch.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? That is a great shame. I'm glad you're doing something about it, though.
Well, we are. I am definitely trying to do something about it.
Good
because,
for you.
You know, I'm looking at... I mean, those sort of watches were made in Switzerland, and they were mass-produced, and they're not particularly good. Lots of them have what we call cylinder escapements, which was a very poor escapement. One of the things that's actually been attributed to Thomas Tompion, probably the worst thing he ever did, if he did it, because it was a very, what we call a frictional rest escapement. So all the time it was ticking, it was rubbing against things and wearing out.
Oh, that's not what you need.
It wasn't until much later on that they developed the lever escapement, where the contact with everything else was only a split second. So that it lasted, you know, many, many more
years. There wasn't so much wear on it.
Yeah, absolutely, not so much wear. And that's what you have on your wrist these days. Or not quartz ones, but on mechanical ones. Mm. They're all what they call Swiss levers.
Right, so mechanical clocks, are they similar to a watch but with bigger parts, or are they totally different?
Essentially, they are a power source, a train of wheels, and an escapement. I mean, that's what it was in 1386, basically.
Wasn't around then.
No, but I mean, that was, essentially, it hasn't changed, except for the fact that they're very, very much smaller.
Right.
Clockwork, it's a five-year apprenticeship. With a 2 years after that as an improver.
Yeah.
It takes as long to do that as it does to become a doctor.
I can imagine
well,
it does.
Well, you are a clock doctor. Mm.
Yes, indeed. Mm. So, really, your plan to retire a bit didn't work, did it?
Not really. I mean, I like making things, and I like the idea of making something that had an application. Now, not everybody's going to want these. Not everybody's going to buy them.
No.
People will say, oh, they're lovely. They're not all going to want them because you need a watch to put on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's all about, really. I'm just trying to get people to get these old, particularly watches at the moment, trying to get them out of the drawer, onto a stand, into the room, so that everybody can see it. Part of Granddad that's still alive, still ticking.
Yeah.
And and I just had an article published in the in a magazine called Timepiece,
right.
Which is the Guild's, the British Watch and Clockmakers Guild's magazine, all about these stands. They you know, I've told the trade about it now, so
yeah, magic.
So that's plenty. And they say it's all upcycled wood. You use it.
It's all sorts. Yes, everything about it is handmade. It's upcycled mahogany. There's an abundance of it on the Isle of Wight. You know, tables, even Pembroke tables, things that once were really nice, but they're so bad now, they're so stained, they're so damaged, that they're beyond restoration. I wouldn't do it to a beautiful antique.
No.
You know, but I use the wood and recycle it, because you can make a lot of stands out of a small piece of wood.
I bet you can.
And I turn all the brass myself, I gold plate everything.
Wow, he's a talented man.
Certainly is. Would you, I'll give you your contact details again in a minute, come back at some point in the future and talk to us about Hook?
Oh, of course, lovely.
I thought you might like to come in and talk to us about Hook. No, it's a whole afternoon of conversation.
It's a whole afternoon. I mean, this is the way I look at it. Ofsted has said terrible things about the education on the Isle of Wight. You know, they've criticised it, haven't they? I mean, you read it in the papers.
Yes, yes.
And yet, probably the cleverest man that ever in the United Kingdom was actually born in Freshwater. And he did leave it at the age of 13, but, you know, he was probably the cleverest man.
We will get you back in to talk about Mr. Hook in the not-too-distant future. In the meantime, Paul, can you give us your contact details again?
Yes, well, the village I live in is Bryston, but I'm not going to give out an address.
No, don't do that.
That wouldn't be right for security reasons. Yep. But you can contact me on... www.standwatch.com. That's a website, or you can contact me by email, Paul Gabriel Watches at gmail.com. Gabriel's my middle name.
Okay. Paul Gabriel's Gmail. And you do, you will go and take a look at someone's clock or watch?
I go all over the island. It doesn't matter where it is. I'll collect and deliver free of charge.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much for coming in, Paul.
We will
put this on the website a bit later on, yeah, once I've taken a photo of you.
Great.
And we'll book you back in to talk about Mr. Hook, because I know you're a bit of a fan of his.
Absolutely.
And
he's my hero.
And we will have plenty to talk about him. Yeah. He's one of our local heroes as well.
Yes.
In the meantime,
your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.